celebration that the Church of England and others celebrate every year called Palm Sunday. It's meant to be the day that Jesus came to Jerusalem and they laid palms and they laid palms. We don't keep it here as the Baptist Church itself, but it's true for them. We've seen more than one gospel, but this evening I'm going to look at John chapter 12, verses 9 to 20. That's Paul, that's chapter 12. And why is Jonathan good?
John chapter 12, verse 9 to 20. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast.
So we have this picture of Jesus coming to Jerusalem. And to him, we put it this way. Here he comes, robed in majesty, King of the Jews. I want that to be our theme this evening. How do you see Jesus? Do you see him as your king? And the title is, Do You See the Triumphant Jesus? Do you see the triumphant Jesus? I want us to think tonight about the triumphant Jesus entering into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, a young colt, symbolising peace to a people who come to worship their king, who they thought would come in riding on a horse and giving them victory in war. But this was not Jesus. He had come here on earth the first time to give peace. They struck him on the cheek, he would turn the other side. They delivered him into the court, and he answered back not. He was beaten and put to a cross, and he answered not. He came triumphantly into Jerusalem, but did they really know his purpose? You see, at that time, Jesus, when he went amongst the crowds, they wanted to make him king, but he would slip away. Others wanted to kill him, but he said, My time is not yet come. And he would walk away. This time, he let it be known. He would be in Jerusalem. He was coming at the time of the Passover. And the word went round. This time, he knew it would mean death. This time, he knew the Pharisees and all those would get together. And they would, because of his miracles and the people following him and the fear in their hearts, they would now put him to death. And he knew that, but this was God's time. And it's always God's time with Jesus. He arrives at the right time, in the right place. And he's coming into Jerusalem knowing he was going to go to the cross at God's appointed hour. At God's appointed hour. And he came to bring peace the first time. You see, our sins separate us from God. As it says in Ephesians, Jesus came into the world in the body of flesh to die on the cross to take away that barrier between us and God. As we talked about the other week, sin separates us from God. And Jesus was going to take away that, as it says in Ephesians, and bring us peace, nailing it to the cross. Paul the Apostle said, I came to preach peace among you. So the first time Jesus came to earth, he came to bring peace with man, to man from God. He was going to be our advocate. He was going to make the atonement. He came to bring peace, and that's why he's riding on a donkey. He had not come riding on a horse. God hates sin, and he's wrathful against it. So it's no good people getting up in a pulpit on a Sunday and preaching peace if they don't include the cross. Because it's only the cross that can take away our sin, the punishment for sin, the power for sin. And Christ took God's wrath on the cross, which we'll be hearing more about in the Good Friday, and rose from the dead. You can't have peace without the cross. And Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Knowing all this was going to happen, he's going to be separated from his Father, so that we may never be separated. On the cross, he still comes triumphant. He's not shying away. He comes, he's in control. And the hosannas ring out. We cannot make peace with God only through the cross of Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And he brought us peace with God. So as we're leading up then to Good Friday and Sunday, when we think of the resurrection next week, we see his unbelieving people praised Jesus as he came into Jerusalem. The first thing I want to ask is, why did they praise him? Why were they praising him? You see, the Passover was coming near, and he'd done this miracle in Bethany, where he was coming from. Lazarus was rose from the dead, so the people there were getting all excited. They followed Jesus. As they're coming along, the word goes round. Others come alongside him and walk next to him. And then he's coming into Jerusalem. It says the word goes round. Jesus, this person who does the miracles, this person with power, this exciting person, is coming to Jerusalem. And they all run out to meet him with psalms, with palms, waving their hands, which is a sign of rejoicing and praising him. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. The triumphant entry of Jesus, even though he's going to his death. I want you to see this evening then that Christ is always triumphant, whether he's coming into Jerusalem, whether he's on the cross, whether he's raising from the dead, or interceding now. He's always triumphant. And do you see that? Have you got the triumphant Christ in your life? Is he ruling in your life? Is he triumphant in your soul? You see, we can only be victorious in Christ because what he's done is bore our sin on the cross. He's rose from the dead, defeated sin, death, and the devil, and is now at the right hand of God, interceding for his people on their behalf. Have you got this triumphant Jesus in your heart? Can you see him living in you daily? Can you fellowship with him daily? Are you triumphing daily with him over sin and the devil? Do you live under this grace where God will save you and keep you to the end? Is the triumphant Jesus your king? They call him a king here. Was he really their king? You see, the sad thing, if you look carefully, these people didn't come to praise Jesus because he was really their saviour and king. They come to praise him. What for? The miracles. The miracles. It says, I was come because of what he had done to Lazarus. You see, there's a faith you can have and you end up in hell. These people had faith in the Jesus that did the miraculous, but they didn't have faith in the Jesus of salvation that can save their souls. And so they came because he done miracles. Because of Lazarus. This is not saving faith. This faith will land you in hell. And so many gathered, didn't they, to come and see him. And what does that remind us of today? If you had a healing meeting in any church and you announce it, loads of people will come. They won't come to a sermon meeting normally. They won't come to a Bible study. This will not be lining out the door for that. But if it's a healing meeting, there'll be hundreds of people. And this is sad to say, the main reason they're coming. They wanted to see the person who did the miracles, the person with the power. Though they were singing hosannas, it was not for their salvation. It is because they wanted to see more miracles. They thought, we want to be friends with this person. He does miracles. He feeds us with bread. We will praise him. So don't think a church, because it's big and because there's many people there, that it's necessarily Christian. sound. It doesn't mean it's unsound, but it could mean the opposite. There are one example of this on Numbers is the Roman Catholic Church. All over the years, millions and millions of people are members of the Roman Catholic Church, and yet it's not biblical. And there are other denominations and leaders who are not sound. Numbers do not mean the church is Christian. So Christ accepts the price, but I want you to know that Christ, and a few days later, the same people were saying, crucify, crucify. This was a temporal faith. A faith in miracles, not a saving faith in the person of Jesus. And we see this in Acts chapter 2. Remember when they preached at Pentecost, they were with one accord. And remember many people were converted. And what did Peter preach? Verse 19 from 10. You men of Judah, in order for them, be known unto you and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken. And then he goes on to say that these same people, you men of Israel, verse 25, Jesus of Nazareth, a man proved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, they were at the triumphant entry. Him being delivered by determinate counsel and by knowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. These people were lost, even though they believed in the miracles. They were going to last eternity unless they repented. And the message of Pentecost was repent. Have you turned from your sins to God? Have you looked away from yourself to a Saviour? Real true repentance is you just acknowledging you're absolutely helpless and only God can save you. And you trust and hope in that. And Jesus is our Saviour. This is not isolated. We look at the Old Testament. Balaam in the Old Testament, this is what people don't seem to realise. Balaam prophesied, but he went to hell. King Saul was made king, and he went to hell. Judas, read it, he did miracles and preached, and he went to hell. These are not saving faith. These are not saving faith. The only saving faith is to repent of your sins and believe the gospel in the Lord Jesus. We remember at Easter, the Roman Catholics had hours and hours of services and devotions and praise God. But what are they living like? Are they living crucifying the Lord Jesus? Because it's sin that crucified the Saviour. And the problem with the healing meetings is that many people come for the wrong reasons. For a start, I can't see any healing meeting announced in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Jesus went, he went to the person and they were healed. Or it says in Acts, they looked at the person who was sick, they had faith, the person looked at them, they had faith and they were healed. It wasn't announced many days in advance. I'm not against miracles. And I've seen them and know of them, and godly men who have prayed over people and they've been healed, sometimes over a period of years. I mean, praise God for it. But you can't be saved through believing in a miracle. We remember Christ's birth, life, death and resurrection. He was 100% committed and full of good works. And now he comes. Remember a sporting team come back to this country, I think it was the rugby players and or the cricket, and they lined the streets. They were praising them. This will be a man, or someone who's won a gold medal. But here's Christ coming, God the Son. He's done more than win a gold medal. He's won a salvation. And these people are unbelievers, really. They weren't even saved, but they had to praise God. Christ said the stones would cry out. Do we praise God triumphantly? Do we praise God triumphantly? And do all we can to get to the services to praise God. It keeps us on our toes to be under the ministry of preaching and teaching in prayer meetings and in services. Now what the Bible calls means of grace. That should be something really serious to stop us coming to a meeting. Remember in Acts it says they met every day in the Word and in prayer. And in praying every day. They thought they needed it every day. The Word of God. We know there's a revival one at a time. But the more weak we see ourselves, if you see yourself as weak, the more we should be enthusiastic to come to services. And hopefully, and I don't think we are, by God's grace, not Westminster Whisperers, but Westminster Worshippers of the living God, for all he has done for us in salvation, and also given us our essential needs of food and clothing. This triumphant entry of the fully man and the fully God Jesus, as he comes in, he deserves all their praise and worship. He took on himself flesh, sinful like flesh. How humble is that? So even the world, even these unbelievers who just believed in miracles, couldn't help praising. No wonder it was a triumphant entry, because we've got a triumphant Jesus, and he always wins. He's the captain of our salvation, and he never loses. Have you got the triumphant Jesus in your heart, ruling by his grace and power through the death on the cross and his resurrection? My friends, and I said this before, and it's so true. The name of the Lord Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always used it. He can't be your Saviour if he's not your Lord. Jesus means he came to save his people from their sins. You can't know Jesus as the one dying on the cross if he's not your Lord. It makes a mockery of the gospel. As I look back over my Christian life, I know I'm far from perfect, but sometimes you meet like young people, and they've always lived in the world. Now that person, it's unloving to say to them that they're saved or backslidden. You have to say to them, repent, you are not saved. Romans chapter 8 says, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because they've been born of the Spirit, and they've now been regenerated, and they've got new life in them. They're born again. What could be more radical? There must be a drastic change. God doesn't save us in halves. He doesn't save us from sin, and he doesn't save us from the power of sin. It's a mockery to the gospel. Well, anyone should claim that and live like that. You need to repent and believe the gospel. As it says in Hymn 151, when it talks about, when I survey the wondrous cross, love so amazing, so divine, deserves my soul, my life, my all. Some people may say, well, how can a cross be triumphant? How can someone on a cross be winning? Colossians, we turn to Colossians chapter 2, where Paul is really dealing with people concerning the law. They nearly went back to the law. And he's starting verse 13, Colossians chapter 2. And you being dead in your sins, not sanctified, and the uncircumcision in your flesh, having quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. What does that mean? We can't go to heaven by good works, because we just can't fulfill the law, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. We couldn't do it, no one has. Nailing it to the cross. Triumphant, and then installed principalities and powers, that's the devil and everything that's against us, all evil. He made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. That's the cross. And then he says, don't let people judge you, according to Old Testament things. They're triumphant. The cross was a triumphant thing. He was overcoming sin and the power of sin. That's why Paul says in Romans 6:6, leave your old man crucified on a cross, dead. That's why I believe in sovereign grace. How can a person who's full of sin, corrupt and wicked, choose God? It's impossible.
Amen.
We can only be chosen to God if he comes in for the Holy Spirit and regenerates us, and we repent and believe because we've been regenerated. A dead person can't do anything. We can't cooperate. God comes alongside us, says this is the way out, and we cooperate with him, and we want to go that way. We can't. Spiritually, we're dead. He trespasses and sins. So, there's a problem for people who just like the excitement of miracles. It's dangerous. It won't save you, that kind of faith. Yes, there's a faith that won't save you. There's people who have faith in other religions and other things. There's even people who have got a faith that there is no God. But it won't save them. There's only one faith that saves, and that's in the Lord Jesus. Romans 8 says, we're more than conquerors. Now we are, through him that loved us. Now we are. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Satan's been defeated, and Christ now rules in heaven. And in a way, we rule with him, because it says, that we are kings and priests unto God. We were with him in our prayers. And here we have it. So here we have it. It's a wonderful thing. And yet sad. That Christ was forsaken on the cross. As someone said, so that we might never be forsaken. We come into the kingdom of God and we're born again of his Spirit. Are you this evening born of God's Spirit and in his family? A new person in a new kingdom ruled by a new person, the Lord Jesus himself, in the kingdom of Christ through his cross and resurrection. Yes, Christ was triumphant on the cross. He was triumphant when he rose from the dead. He's triumphant now in heaven. And when he returns again, he'll be triumphant again. Every knee shall bow and confess him Lord. Are you on the victory side tonight? Or the loser, Satan? He will say things to you, but you'll end up dead in sin. You'll end up ruled by sin. You'll end up on the way to heaven, hell, and in hell itself. Look at Christ. See his salvation, trust in him. He leads his children on from earth to heaven. We're always advancing. As Hudson Taylor said, and it was quoted last week, God is always advancing. And if you're not advancing this evening, it's because you're backslidden or cold. God is always advancing. And you eventually will advance because he will come and chastise you and bring you back if you're a true Christian. Christ is always triumphant. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. No wonder they were singing Hosanna to the highest. Can you say tonight, he's my Saviour and he's my Lord and my life? All these people in the passage were lost. They couldn't. They praised him, but it wasn't for salvation. It was for the miracles. Praise God that many of them were probably saved. A Pentecost later. And there was many churches who praised God. But what are they praising him for? Is it because there's been a miracle? Or is it because he's the Saviour of the world, his people? Do you know this grace of God? Here he comes, clothed in majesty, King of the Jews. And he's here in need tonight. Have you fully bent a knee to Jesus as King of your life? King of our lives, by his grace, he shall be. We can't do it in our own power. What did Paul say when the light shone on him? Lord, why thou have me to do? He willing to do anything. He realised he'd been going the wrong way on the Damascus road. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Anything. I've been sinning in ignorance, but I've been sinning. And then you have to come to that place. Have you ever come to that place? Lord, what would you have me to do? Anything. I need mercy. I need forgiveness. I need salvation. I want to do your will now. I'm repenting. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Tonight, perhaps there's one here who hasn't bowed the knee to Jesus. And he needs to come into your life and give you victory and triumph in your life by his grace. So, as we conclude, we see tonight a triumphant Saviour for sinners. Do you see it? Do you see it? This was one who was going to his death on the cross, but he came to Jerusalem triumphant. I found it quite amazing. I think it was Hendrickson that said it, that this was all planned by Christ. At any time, he could have gone amongst the people and been very popular like this, but then the authorities would have come in and they would have killed him. But it wasn't his time yet, he said. Now is the time. He's going to go forward. He's going to get the praise. He's going to get the honour that he deserved, all his ministry. But he knew it will mean he will go to the cross. And he wanted the cross because he wanted us to be saved. And he loved us. And he wanted to save us. It was all in God's predetermined counsel. So do you see a triumphant Saviour tonight? Maybe you're still doubting that these people in Jerusalem, perhaps you think, well, they're all praising him. Surely they were saved. All of them. Do you remember they prayed over Jerusalem? How I would like to come amongst you and draw you to me like a hen with its chicken. Draw you to me. But he said, Jerusalem, you would not. He said, he cried over Jerusalem. He cried over the same people here that were praising him. He cried over them because all they saw was the miracles. They couldn't see any further. They couldn't see. How do you see Jesus tonight? Are you excited by the miracles and the services? Are you so excited when there's an anniversary service that you come along? Or there's an Easter service that you come along? Or there's a harvest service that you come along? Well, that won't save you, my friend. Faith in God won't save you. You need to repent and believe the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. He lived for us. He fulfilled the law we couldn't do. Our sin was imputed to him. His righteousness was imputed to us. If we couldn't hold him, he rose and went victorious to heaven and gave us victory over the grave. Oh, how we see a triumphant Jesus tonight, a triumphant Saviour. For there was no other good enough to take our part for sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us Oh, when we look at these people, they weren't believers, yet they praised God. And we should praise him. And as I said at the introduction of the anniversary, make his praise glorious. Surely it should be in our heart. The Spirit should be stirred in our hearts that we worship him. And make his praise glorious. Sometimes you see them singing at the rugby matches and the football matches, and sometimes they sing the hymns in the Welsh rugby game. And they sing it really well. Sometimes they sing it louder than us Christians. We should be worshipping him and making his praise glorious. Oh, let's praise this triumphant Jesus, this victorious Jesus. Do you see him tonight? Triumphant in your life. Triumphant Jesus. Oh, let us worship and praise him as he came into Jerusalem, as he got all this praise and he accepted it. May we, his people, do likewise. To God be the glory. Oh, good to see you guys again. Well, that second hymn, which is 1:4.